Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. This is the word of the Lord. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." This is the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 19, verse 38, we hear the truth concerning Jesus. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." This is a true confession. This is the good confession. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, verse 35, in his lament over Jerusalem, Jesus had said, "Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Jesus understood himself to be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And in Luke chapter 19, this confession is heard on the lips of his disciples. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And who is the one who comes in the name of the Lord? It is the Christ. The Christ of God, the King of Israel. The words of this confession were not new words. They come from Psalm 118, which we read last Lord's Day. Psalm 118, verse 26. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Jesus understood himself to be the fulfillment of Psalm 118. He understood himself to be the Christ of God. He understood himself to be the King of Israel. And here his disciples full-heartedly, wholeheartedly agree. Though, as we've noted before, they did not fully understand what they were confessing. They understood who Jesus was. They understood that Jesus was the Christ. But they did not understand what it meant for him to be the Christ. They understood that he was the Christ. But they did not understand what was required of him as the Christ. They did not understand that it was necessary that he suffer, that it was necessary that he die, that it was necessary that he be raised. Which is why, even after his resurrection from the dead, one of his disciples will say, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." They did not understand that the true redemption of Israel could only come through the Christ's suffering and death and resurrection. For true redemption, the redemption which Christ brings, is not redemption from bondage to earthly political powers, but redemption from bondage to spiritual powers. Redemption from bondage to sin and death. And so, though they did not understand the full extent of what they were confessing, this confession on the lips of Jesus' disciples in Luke chapter 19, verse 39, it is the true confession. It is the good confession. Jesus is the Blessed One. Jesus of Nazareth is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the Christ of God. He is the King of Israel. He is the heir to the throne of a heavenly kingdom. A kingdom which shall not pass away. A kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Here is the one who brings peace to heaven, that there might be peace between God and man in heaven, that man might dwell with God in heaven, that man might be clothed with the glory of heaven. In verse 38, we have the truth about Jesus, though not the whole truth about Jesus. For again, his disciples did not understand what it meant for him to be the Christ. They did not understand that he was not only the fulfillment of Psalm 118, verse 26, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But he was also the fulfillment of Psalm 118, verse 22. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." In Jesus, the whole of Psalm 118 is fulfilled. Not only the glories which it foretold, but also the sufferings which it foretold. In Jesus, the whole of Psalm 118 is fulfilled. For the blessed one who comes in the name of the Lord, he is also the stone rejected by the builders, the stone that becomes the cornerstone. But it does not become the cornerstone without first being the rejected stone. And so it was necessary that the Christ be rejected. It was necessary that Jesus be rejected. And we see that rejection in our passage. We see it in verse 39. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke your disciples for what they are saying. Rebuke your disciples. Rebuke them for saying such things. Rebuke them for saying this about you." And telling Jesus to rebuke his disciples, what were the Pharisees doing? They were rebuking Jesus. For in rejecting what the disciples were confessing about Jesus, they were rejecting what Jesus had confessed about himself. In rejecting what the disciples were confessing about Jesus, the Pharisees were rejecting Jesus himself. This is part of his being that stone rejected by the builders. A rejection which will culminate in his death, as he is condemned to death by his own people. The Apostle Peter will say this explicitly in Acts chapter 4, verse 11. "Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." In admonishing Jesus to rebuke his disciples, the Pharisees reject Jesus. They were denying that he was the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They were denying that he was the Christ of God. They were denying that he was the King of Israel. And you cannot deny the truth about Jesus without denying Jesus himself. They were not only denying truths about him, they were denying him. They were denying the Christ. They were denying their King. They were denying their Lord. To deny the truth about Jesus is to reject Jesus. To say that he was only a good man, that is to deny him. To say that he was only a prophet, That is to reject him. In verse 38, we have the truth about Jesus, about who he is, a truth which we must confess. And in verse 39, we have the rejection of Jesus and the Pharisees' rejection of that truth. And then in verse 40, we have Jesus' response. He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." These were silent, the very stones would cry out. The very stones would cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The very stones would confess him. As the heavens declare the glory of God, so the stones would have declared the glory of Jesus. For the truth about him does not depend upon man. The truth about him does not depend upon the testimony of man. Let God be true, though every man a liar. He is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the Christ. He is the King. And that is not true because we say it is true. It is true because it is true. It is true because he is truth. The stones knew him, for they were created through him. Greater rebuke of the Pharisees could there have been? For if the stones knew who Jesus was, how could the Pharisees not? There is a connection here between what Jesus says in Luke chapter 19 and what John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3. At the beginning of Luke's gospel, when the crowds were coming to John to be baptized by him, what did he say? Luke chapter 3, verse 7. "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." In Luke chapter 3, John warns those who would presume upon their status as the physical offspring of Abraham. And in Luke chapter 19, Jesus warns those who would presume upon their status as the leaders of Israel. In Luke chapter 3, John says that God is able to raise from the stones children for Abraham. And in Luke chapter 19, Jesus says that if there were none to confess him, the very stones would cry out. And so we see a connection between these two passages, but not only between these two passages, but a connection between these passages and Psalm 118. For as Christ is the stone that is rejected, which becomes the cornerstone, so also those who belong to Christ are living stones. First Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As Christ is compared to a stone, so his church is compared to stones. In Luke's gospel, we don't want to be like the crowds. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. We want to be like the stones. As Christ is compared to a stone, so we are compared to stones. He, the stone that is rejected by men. We, the stones from which God has raised children for Abraham. He, the stone that has become the cornerstone. We, the stones that cry out, "Blessed is he." Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And here is the point of what we are saying. If we want to confess Christ rightly, we must identify with him as that stone rejected by men. If you would confess Christ rightly, you must identify with him as the stone rejected by men. You must embrace him as the stone rejected by men. You must embrace the whole of him. You must embrace all of him. Not only his exaltation, but also his humiliation. Not only his glory, but also his sufferings. Not only his resurrection, but also his death. And why would someone not want to embrace the whole of Christ? Because it means that we will not only be glorified with him, but that we must also suffer with him. It means that we will not only be raised with him, but that we must also die with him. Because it means that as he suffered for our sins, so we must also repent of our sins. In Luke's gospel, Jesus' followers, they were faced with a Christ whom they did not understand. A Christ who suffers. A Christ of whom they were afraid. A Christ who suffers unto death. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus' opponents were faced with a Christ whom they did not want. A Christ who rebukes the proud. A Christ whom they did not like. A Christ who calls those who think they are righteous to repentance. But before we dismiss them as ignorant or arrogant, you must ask yourselves, what don't you like about Christ? What don't you like about the Christ who is revealed to us in the gospel? Perhaps that he leads you through suffering. Perhaps that he doesn't always give you what you want. If there is something that you don't like about Christ, then there is something that he does not like about you. Something that he must change within you. He conforms you to his image. What is the alternative? To conform him to our image? If we conform him to our image, we no longer have a Savior. And our faith is no longer true. The Shorter Catechism defines faith in Christ as a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. True faith is not a faith in Christ as we want him to be, or as we think he ought to be. True faith is a faith in Christ as he is. The Christ of the Gospels. The Christ of Scripture. Here is the true Christ. Here is the only Christ. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Believe in him. Amen. Let us pray.